Good morning, Catalyst. So good to have you with us, worshiping with us this weekend. And I love doing this 9:40 hour every single weekend. Come on, let's welcome all of our Marines and our military and those that are joining us and our online community. We love you. We welcome you this weekend. Excited, we're starting a new three-part teaching series called Movement. And really the heartbeat behind this is that every single one of us, that we would fall in love once again with what God desires to do through the local church, the impact that the church is meant to have in the world. And I believe this. I believe that the church is a big deal. Now, I'm not just talking about like Catalyst Church. I'm talking about the church of Jesus Christ, not just in our city, but in every city around our nation and every city around the world, that God has a mission in the world where he is loving all people into a growing relationship with himself through Jesus, and he is using the people of God to make an impact where they are. And yeah, I gotta say, I'm pretty excited also about what God is doing here at Catalyst Church as well. This weekend is my 11-year anniversary. Anybody grateful for that? I am, I can say that. 11 years this weekend. I'm so stoked, so excited, because I'm telling you, God has blown my mind and blown our mind over the past 11 years. Came here in November of 2008, and this was already just a great church. The pastor who led this church, Dr. Mike Turner, before me, just did an amazing job shepherding the people of God and establishing such a great church. This church is about 130 years old, so we look really good for our age. And so I came to this church. It was called First Baptist Church of Jacksonville, and so God has been doing a lot over the past, 100 plus years. And I can say this, not only has God changed the church a lot, God has changed me a lot as the leader, and he has stretched me more as a leader in this role, in this place, more than I've ever been stretched before. And countless times, we as a church have been called by God to step out of the comfort of our boat and to really step out in faith and to walk on water. And to do the extraordinary, to do the incredible. And every single time we've listened to the voice of God, every single time that we have stepped out in faith and believed God for greater things and greater impact, God has blown our mind and done the extraordinary through very ordinary people. I'm excited. This weekend, let me share something with you. In the past 10 years or less, 11 years, I want to show something to you that just means the world to me. 2,009 people have been baptized at Catalyst Church since 2009. Listen, that is a record. Every single year for the past 10 years, Catalyst Church has been one of the top five churches in baptisms and gospel impact in the state of North Carolina. And I believe that we're just starting to see what God has in store for us in the future. God has grown this church. So many of you, you might not know our story, but came 11 years ago, great church, running about 900 people, First Baptist Church. And over the years, I remember when first time we had 1,200 people here. I'm like, what is going on? What is happening? And we had 1,500 and 2,000 and 2,500 and over 3,000 people worshiping weekly. And then on any given Christmas or Easter, we'll have between 5,500 and 6,000 people that are being impacted by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I remember sharing that with someone. They came up to me after the service and they said, Jason, it sounds to me like you're a lot about the numbers, like you're a numbers guy. And I looked at him, I said, absolutely. And they were kind of shocked that I would admit that. But I said it this way. I said, listen, every number, every single number has a name. And every single name has a story. And how many of you know every single story matters to God? Amen? Every story matters to God. And so we've seen more people come to faith in Jesus in the last 10 years than we saw almost nearly in our first 100. We have more people that are in life group being discipled in the Word of God in biblical community. More people that are using their gifts and their talents to build up the body of Christ and to make a difference in our local community. And we have sent more people on mission locally and nationally and globally than at any other time in our history. And so I am so excited about what God has been doing. And again, I believe that we're just seeing the beginning of what God is desiring to do. That same guy asked me in that same conversation, he said, how big is big enough? How big of a church is big enough? And I remember looking at him and going, listen, I think you've got the wrong question. A better question is, are we willing that anyone would perish? Are we willing to leave anyone behind? Because I believe this. I believe we should make it so hard for people to go to hell from Jacksonville, North Carolina as we possibly can. Amen? And I'm not willing. I'm not willing to be able to go, oh, let's just kind of stop right here and let's just kind of get really comfortable and just do our thing and make everybody happy. Listen, that's not the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is to be a movement that transforms the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I believe this. I believe the church is the hope of the world because it carries within it the DNA, the lifeblood of Jesus Christ and the gospel hope that God desires to bring lost people into a relationship with himself. And so this weekend, I want you to know, if you've been with us for a while, then this is your history. But if you've PCS'd to Jacksonville in the last couple of years, then listen, this is your inheritance. But every single one of us has a responsibility to steward what God has been doing here and what God is desiring to do here. So again, if this is your history, man, we're so grateful for you. You put up with a lot in the last 10 years. But if you're new, then this is your inheritance. And again, I believe that each and every one of us have a part to play. I want us to go today to one of my favorite scriptures, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. And really the scriptures that we're using today are just foundational to who we are as a body. And it says this in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. I want you to read this out loud with me today. And so let's say it together. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Listen, Jesus is speaking to his disciples here. His followers, the future leaders of this movement called the church, and he is painting for them a picture of the impact that they are called to have in the world. And he says something. In scripture, he says, I am the light of the world. But here he turns to his disciples and he says, you are the light of the world. That because I live in you and the Spirit of God lives in you, and because God has this work that he's doing in redeeming broken and lost and prodigal mankind back into a relationship with himself, I have set you in this world to shine my light to them so that they would see me. See, we're not pointing people to ourselves. We're pointing people to Jesus. We're called to make an impact in the world in which we live in. And I love this imagery of being a light to the world. We're not just a single light, but we're a collection of light. We're a gathering of lights when we come together and we worship the name of Jesus. And as we go out and we're scattered into our community and then through PCS around this nation and then globally, we are called to be a city of lights that cannot be hidden. How many of you love to drive around the Christmas holiday and look at lights? How many of you do that? How many of you will not get in your car and drive all the way to Richlands or Southwest or somewhere out in the country just to see someone's front porch light on? You won't do it. No one gets dressed up for that. Hey, let's go look at someone's porch light. But you will drive and freeze your tail off when there is a lot of lights in a dark community, and that light, I mean, it's like Griswold. It is lighting up the sky. I believe that the church of Jesus is to be a gathering of lights that is so visible to the city that it cannot be hidden. For several years, when God called me into the ministry, I was 19 years old and surrendered my life to Christ. And the first several years of my life, I went to Bible college, and then I went to do my master's work and at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. And the focus of my education was really the early church and revival movements and the Great Awakening. What God has been doing through his people throughout history. And I get so jazzed up whenever I read about what God is doing in churches. I'm a student of the church. If there's a great movement of God in our nation, I know about it. If there's a movement of God in the world, I know about it. I'm passionate about that. And I remember reading about that whenever I was younger. in ministry, and I was getting so excited about what God has done and what God is doing and what God is desiring to do, that I was so excited to pastor a church for myself, because I thought, listen, you know, in one day, 3,000 people got saved and were baptized, and they changed their city with the gospel of Jesus. And listen, nothing will mess up your theology of the local church like pastoring a local church. I'm like, wait, these people are nothing like the people in Acts. I'm in a business meeting. They're fighting over the color of carpet and whether or not we use, you know, reduced, you know, the toilet paper, you know, rather than Charmin. They don't want to spend the money. I mean, what are we doing? You get so confused because you read about what the church is meant to be, and so often you see what it is. Listen, I believe this. I believe the church is a big deal. But I believe that so many even believers, and people say, I'm a follower of Jesus, they don't get it. They don't get it. They think that the church is a place that they attend on the weekend, but it's not a place that you attend. It's who you're called to be. That we are to be the church. We are the church of Jesus Christ in the world, gathered together for the purpose of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But so many people today have lost their vision of the local church. Latest statistic says that the average American goes to church only 1.2 times a month. Only 1.2 times a month. That's the average Christian in America attends church 1.2 times a month. And you wonder why is the church not a priority? Why are people not passionate about what God is desiring to do through the local body? And so many churches, instead of being outwardly focused and missionally focused, they become focused on their traditions. They become more focused on their programs. And you hear statements like this, well, this is the way that we've always done it. Listen, the natural tendency of the church, the natural tendency in all of our lives, and that is over time to turn inward, where you might start out really passionate about God and the things of God, but over time you start to sacrifice that and you turn inwardly to think about your happiness and your satisfaction and your comfort levels. But listen, any church designed and organized around those things are missing the purpose that God has for their lives. And for so many, church becomes more about maintaining golden calves than worshiping and telling the story of a risen Savior. How many of you know the church is not meant to be an institution or a corporation, just a building with stained glass and steeples and pews and hymn books, but a church is meant to be a force. A church is meant to be a movement. A church is meant to be a community, a gathering of people who are centered upon Jesus Christ and His Word and who go out transformed for the purpose of transforming the world around them. I believe the church is called to be the light of the world. The church is supposed to be a city for the city, a city of God's people so filled with the light of Jesus Christ that together we brighten up the city that God has placed us in. Well, one question that we started asking several years ago is this question. If Catalyst Church shut its doors tomorrow, would our city even know that we were gone? Would our city know that we were gone? Would it grieve the loss of the local body? Would it mourn our disappearance? And then I believe this. I can say this with all confidence. I believe that our city has changed because Catalyst Church is here. I believe that we have a place in this city. I believe that God has used this city, that we are a visible representation of the hope and the love and the compassion of Jesus to our city. But I believe we've got a lot of ground to take still. I believe the children of our city should be impacted. I believe the students of our city should be impacted. I believe the singles and the married couples and the family units should be impacted because of the influence and the change that the local church brings. I believe the elderly are to be loved and to know that they have purpose and place. I believe that this church should be a church for the unloved and the hurting and the lost and the lonely and the least, the abused, the addicted and the abandoned, the orphaned. That you and I, that we are meant to be a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. So we say this, amen, come on. So we say this. I want you to know, coming out of this, I want you to know. I don't want you to ever wonder, well, what is our church about? What are we about? What is our mission? What is our vision? I don't want there to be any muddy waters with this. That's why we're going to spend 3 weeks talking about this as we prepare for the future that God has for us. But the mission of this church is built upon two primary scriptures, the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. Great Commandment says we exist to love God, or love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love God, love others. We say that we exist to love all people. Great Commission says that we are to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And we are to teach them to observe all the things that he has commanded to them. And he says, behold, I'm with you to the end of the age. I'm with you on this. So we say, we exist. Here's our mission, that we exist to glorify God. We're not here for our glory. We're not here to draw a crowd. We're here to be the church. Amen? We exist to glorify God by loving all people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what we are about. We believe the church is a big deal. It was Jesus' idea. He gave his life to birth it. He is the chief cornerstone of it. It is about taking his gospel to the ends of the earth. The church is a big deal. And I just want to encourage you, if it is a big deal to Jesus, it should be a big deal to you and I. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. We know our mission. What is our vision? After Jesus rose from the grave, he spent 40 days appearing to well over 500 people and teaching his disciples and followers about what's next, and instructing them about what's next. And before he ascended into heaven, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, again, just a foundational scripture for us here at Catalyst, says this, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my what? My what? My witnesses in all of Jerusalem and all of Judea, in Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. I want you to notice something here. Three times Jesus says you. He says you. Who will receive power? You. Who's the Holy Spirit going to come on upon? You. He said, who's going to be my witnesses to the world? You. Don't you get this? This is the mission of God. This is the purpose of God, but God has declared that he is going to fulfill this mission through you. And I believe this, that when Jesus was talking to his disciples on that day saying you, I believe he meant me. I believe he meant you even today, 2,000 years later, that God has a mission and God is inviting us to join him in that mission of loving all people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. I believe this, the church is not called to just make a difference in the world. There are a lot of organizations out there that make a difference. I believe that we're called to make the world different. I don't believe that we're just called to make a difference in Jacksonville and beyond. I believe we are to make Jacksonville different and beyond different because of the hope and the life and the love of Jesus Christ that we live out. One of the very first statements that Jesus made when he stepped into public ministry, he walked into the synagogue, he grabbed the scroll of Isaiah and he read this. And the gospel writer Luke recorded it in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. He said this, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach, what's the next two words? Good news. He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of our Lord's favor. I love that. Jesus is like, listen, this is why I'm here. Here's the good news. God has chosen grace and favor rather than judgment and condemnation. And I believe this is the purpose of the church. That we are to be the hands and feet of Jesus to our world, to let them know that Jesus Christ has come because there is grace for them, there is mercy for them, there is favor for them rather than judgment and condemnation. I love it. Jesus says, this is not just a Jewish thing. It's for Gentiles. It's not just, and not just for the dudes, it's for the dudettes, right? It's for men and women, it's for slave and free. It's for not just for those that are already in the church, it's for those that are unchurched. It's not just for those who would say, you know, they're spiritually enlightened. He said, no, this is for those that are spiritually bankrupt. It's not just for those who think that they're morally, they've kind of got it all together and they're doing pretty good. He said, no, this movement, this gospel is for those that are completely caught in sin's captivity in prison. It's for those that are spiritually blind. It's for those who feel like they have no hope, that in Jesus, God has come to offer salvation and grace and mercy and favor and not judgment and condemnation. But I wonder if you would think about, how does the world view the church? Do they view it as a people of grace and favor, or do they view it as an institution of judgment and condemnation? I believe that we are called to be known for what we stand for, not just what we stand against. And I believe that what God is most passionate about is, God is passionate about people. Amen? God is passionate about people. Listen, from the very beginning of the early church, the church has been about transforming cultures, about making an impact, about changing the world. God's people from the very beginning have been a radical people. Remember the story, sociologist, historian Rodney Stark wrote about how the cities in the Roman Empire were at one time characterized by open sewers and rampant crime and epidemic illness and plagues and the orphan crisis. He said life expectancy in the Roman Empire was less than 30 years of age. He said so many people were fleeing the city, but the church moved to the city. And he wrote about the movement of the church in this way. He said, Christianity revitalized life in the Greco-Roman cities. To cities that were filled with homelessness and that were impoverished, Christianity offered charity as well as hope. To cities filled with newcomers and strangers, Christianity offered an immediate basis for attachment. To cities filled with orphans and widows, Christianity provided a new and expanded sense of family. To cities torn by violence and ethnic strife and racial division, Christianity offered a new basis for social solidarity. History tells that within three centuries, over half of the Roman Empire had become followers of Jesus Christ. They didn't make a difference in the world. They made the world different. And there's something powerful when the church refuses just to be known by the four walls and the steeple and the pews and the stained glass, but we are known as a people on mission. We are a family on mission. If you look back at Acts 1:8 again, I believe we see the strategy. How do we take this gospel to the ends of the earth? Jesus said this. He said, this is what I want you to do. You're gonna receive my spirit. When you get my spirit, you're gonna get my power, and you're gonna be my witnesses. You're gonna boldly testify to who I am and what I have done, the difference that I've made in your life. And this is where I want you to start. I want you to start where you live. I want you to start in Jerusalem, but I don't want you to stay there. Matter of fact, it wasn't too long of a time in history that the religious leaders in the community had come and they had arrested the disciples of Jesus. They were kind of persecuting them, and they brought this accusation against them. And this is what they said. Here's their accusation. You have filled all of Jerusalem with this message. I'm looking at that going, well, that's not really an accusation. If I was Peter, I'm like, well, that's kind of what we've been going for, right? I mean, that's why we're here. World domination is our goal. How many of you know that's the goal of Catalyst Church, all right? World domination, I mean, that's it. Anything short of that is to not fulfill the mission that God has for us. And so they're like, you're filling all of Jerusalem with this. And they're like, awesome. That's what we were going for. But the problem is that even within that first stage, those disciples started to get kind of settled. And so we're gonna see this next week that God brought some persecution to the local church in Jerusalem. So guess where they had to go? They had to go from Jerusalem. Guess where they went next? Judea. They went to Judea. I remember standing on the southern wall, on the steps of the temple in Jerusalem, just a little over a year ago. And this was the very place where in one day over 3,000 people were baptized in faith in Jesus Christ and committed their life. This is where the church was birthed. And I'm sitting here and I'm reciting this verse, and you're going to receive power. This was the very steps that the Spirit of God came down on their people. And he says, you're going to fill all of Jerusalem with this gospel. He says, then you're going to go to Judea. And I'm thinking, where is Judea? Where is Judea? And I asked one of the guys, I'm like, where's Judea? He's like, oh, it's just right over that hill. What? See, I always think it's like way out somewhere else. He's like, no, it's right over there. Samaria is up the road, you know? I'm thinking, wow, that makes a lot more sense. That you and I, we are to make an impact where we live and to fill it up with the gospel of Jesus. Then where do we go? The next town over. And once we do that, where do we go next? The next town over. Just continue to leverage the influence of the people of God to reproduce and to multiply and to take the gospel of Jesus Christ forward. Do you realize that was the vision and the strategy? That is the vision and the strategy. And you and I, we get to be a part of that story. Over 2,000 years later, we get to be a part of that story that started in the Garden of Eden after the serpent had tricked Adam and Eve. God, even in that moment, had already started to vision cast the future where everything is going to be changed and the separation between God and mankind is going to be fixed. And he prophesied of that moment. He said, listen, the serpent is going to strike the heel, but one is going to come and he's going to crush his head. And that was a picture of the cross of Jesus Christ. And I think about the birth of the early church and the impact that it had in its world 2,000 years later. I look at this little place in Jacksonville, North Carolina, and I'm going, God, the same mission and the same vision that you had for them in that day is the exact same mission and the exact same vision that the people of God are to have in Jacksonville, North Carolina today. That this is the calling that God has upon our lives. And this is what it means. It means we can't shrink back. It means we can't give up ground. We cannot settle on where we are. We've got to continuously go to where God is and where the gospel is needed. And listen, if there's an empty seat, listen, I love a full room. You know what drives me crazy and breaks my heart? An empty seat. An empty seat. And so you guys might think, well, they're always telling us to scoot in. I love that. How many of you are grateful for a full house? Amen? A full church. Yeah, I know it's hard to find a parking spot. I know in our parking lot, you might even get flipped off trying to get a parking spot. Because we are a church for all people. Amen? That happens, all right? Just like they need Jesus. And if they work for our serve team, let us know. But they need Jesus too, you know, all right? So, and yeah, you know what? It takes time to check your kids into kids' environments. You know what makes it a lot easier? If you get here early, makes it a lot easier for you to do that. And you come in, and I know sometimes it's really hard to find a seat. Listen, these are great problems to have. Because I would not want to be a part of a church that has plenty of parking spaces and plenty of seats. That's pretty boring. And so we're excited about what God is doing here. And we're going to keep making room for more people to come to Jesus. And listen, when we say scoot in and make space for others, that's not just a seat. That is a culture that we're committed to creating to say, hey, we were expecting someone else to come. And so we're going to make room for you. Because we exist to love all people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And so let me give you some news. You kind of heard a little bit of it today. We've been talking about this for a while. Over 7 years ago, we planted our second campus. That was at Northside High School. And man, yeah, come on. Man, if you were part of that, you were part of the movement of God. And this is our passion. We believe that we are called to be a multi-site church. And so listen, we could be one of those churches that builds a giant building, and one day we're gonna have to expand and stuff like that. But when we did the studies, this is what we discovered. In order to build a facility for the size church that we are, it was gonna cost between $18 million and $20 million. And this is what we know. Maybe one day God will call us to do that. I believe this. I believe that it would be better stewardship for us to leverage where you live and to plant campuses there and to release you to live out the gospel where you live and to make an impact where you live, in your neighborhood, where you work, rather than just simply building the big box that everybody comes and drives 30 minutes and 40 minutes to. But we want to, our vision is this, that we would plant campuses where our people are. And then ultimately, this is what makes our vision unique. It's because our people are PCS'd all around the nation, all around the globe. And I believe this. I'm dreaming about the day where we see Catalyst campuses, not just in our Jerusalem, not just in our Judea, which is going to be rich lands, by the way, in 2020. Come on. But in our Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Wouldn't it be pretty cool if whenever you PCS to Okinawa, there was a Catalyst campus already there? Amen. Wherever you might go. And listen, that is a part of our dream right now. And we're just praying, God, if the cloud moves, we'll go. God, if you move, we'll go. We want to be faithful to follow where you are. We don't want to create something. We don't want to try to make something happen. We don't want to push our agenda. God, we just want to go where we are needed and where our people are and where you are desiring to do a fresh work. And so we believe that is what makes the vision of Catalyst Church so unique. As a matter of fact, that's one of the primary reasons why a little over a year ago, year and a half ago, 2 years ago, we changed from First Baptist Church to Catalyst Church, because it's pretty much impossible to be First Baptist Church of Jacksonville and other cities around Eastern Carolina. How many of you know the First Baptist churches there would not be very happy with us if we walked in and said, we're First Baptist? And they're like, no, you're not. We were here first, all right? And so... Our heartbeat is not to be connected to that. Our heartbeat is to be a catalyst for the gospel, to be a movement in our city and beyond. And so here's the big news. And in 2020, we are going to be launching our second campus now, Catalyst Church, Richlands, North Carolina. And we've been kind of holding back this information as an official release until we had a facility. And so we've been praying, we've been in talks for nearly a year now about where we might be able to go, and doors opened and closed and shifted and all those different kinds of things. But we're excited because now we can announce that we have a contract on a facility in Richlands, and God has opened the door for us to go into Richlands High School in the center of Richlands. Can we praise God for that? Amen. So this is so cool. This is so cool. Because in January, the first weekend of January, we're going to challenge 250 of you, at least 250 of you. If you live in Richlands, Beulahville, that part of Southwest, we encourage you to go on mission and help us to launch this campus that's going to really impact that local community where our people already live. And so we'll be in Richlands High School. And again, isn't it cool that Onslow County School District built a facility just for us? Isn't it nice that they built a multi-million dollar building for us, and it only costs us a couple thousand dollars a month, all right? And so that's pretty cool. And so we're so grateful for that. So January 5th, put that on your calendar. We're gonna be vision casting that weekend. We're gonna challenge you to step forward in that. January the 12th is gonna be our first interest meeting. And so interest meeting is simply this: if you're interested, come to the meeting. That's what an interest meeting is. And it's going to be at Richlands High School in Richlands. And we're going to have worship. We're going to have a facility tour. We're going to have a time of prayer there. We're really excited about that night. And then we're going to get you plugged in. If you're ready to go, if that's your community, then we're going to get you plugged in with serve teams and places to serve and places to make an impact. Because the people that go, if you've been a part of a campus, you know, you got to serve. You got to serve. You got to make an impact. And so we're really believing that God is going to place a city on a hill through Catalyst Church in Rich Lands. We're already grateful for the work that he's doing there, the partnerships that we have in this community with other great churches. But we're not focused on their mission and their vision. We're focused on the vision that God has given to us. And in that, we've got to be faithful. So how many of you would say this? We believe the best days are ahead of us. Amen? Come on. Amen. Amen. And so let's get excited, church. Let's get excited about the local church. Let's get excited. I believe this. I believe the key to a movement is this. When all of the people start to leverage their passion and their gifts and their resources and their influence, and they submit that to a greater vision, a common vision, and they submit it to that, and they give their life to that, I believe that we will see exponential return. I believe that we will see exponential impact in the lives of reaching people, not just in the city of Jacksonville, but in Rich Lands, and then wherever our Samaria is, and to the ends of the earth. And so let's be a church. I think it was J.D. Greer who said this, or at least made it famous. I love this statement, that we don't want to be a church that is known for our seating capacity. We want to be a church that is known for our sending capacity. And that's who we are, and that's what we're passionate about. And so if we've got you, if this is your history, it is such a good history. If this is your inheritance, then what a great inheritance that you are receiving. But let's step in and let's steward what God has given to us. Let's all go all in. Amen, church? We'll go all in for this. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. God, thank you. We just pray that you would inspire our hearts once again about what you're desiring to do in our community and the calling that you have on our life. And God, that you've called us to be the light of the world. And that's not shining our light, that's shining Jesus. That's not making much of us, that's making much of Jesus. That's not seeking glory in a name. God is seeking your glory and to make your name famous. And so, God, I pray that we would be faithful in that in every endeavor. We're so grateful. We are so grateful for what you have done in Catalyst Church over the past, you know, me, I can say this for the last 11 years, what you've done for the last 130 years. God, we're so grateful. We're humbled that you would use us in that way. But also, I believe that this is why you put us here. You put us here to not just make a difference, but to make the world different. God, I pray that we would be faithful to do our part, that we would steward the resources and the gifts and everything that you have given us to really love all people into a growing relationship with Jesus. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.